Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 303, episode 3 of
Dear Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into American shared consciousness, and it is Friday, September 8th, 2023. Hey, never forget. Three days away, baby.
From the big one, 9/11. But until then, it's Star Trek Day, World Ampersand Day, and National Pediatric Hematology Oncology Nurses Day.
Shout out to the three days of 9/11.
Yes.
Happy to all who observe. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I am having stomach pain, dookie flowing like champagne, shit all through this plane. That is courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi Maine, referencing the man who shit a plane.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good, be like a good David Bowie, Weird Al Yankovic. Shit a plane. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray in the boot of Italy. Miles have focaccia. But let me get to the actual part of the the chorus here where it goes, Miles in the boot again. Was in Italy, baby. Fettuccine, baby. Focaccia, bread brain. Shout out to Talmarine on the Discord for giving us that loser Beck Italy aka mashup.
Well, that third voice that you hear there coming to you from poolside,
hell yeah,
is one of our favorite guests. One of your favorite guests.
Absolutely.
A writer, an actor, one of the funniest stand-up comedians doing it.
Fuck yes.
She has one of the best comedy specials of the year called Bitch Grow Up that you can go watch on Max. You must go watch it on Max immediately.
We have to say it. No, you don't have to do the promo. Let us do the promo for you.
Yes.
Please.
It is the hilarious.
Those are non-union gigs.
Yeah. The talented Marcella Arguello.
Thank you so much. It's me, Beyonce. Shit. Thank you so much. I am the mayor. Thank
Happy
you so
belated
much.
Birthday.
I am the mayor. Thank you so much.
Headlining the Hollywood Improv September 15th, LA, come check me out.
Oh, shit. There you go. Okay. It's my birthday.
Is it?
Yeah.
Come ruin it. Come watch me.
Yeah, why not? Let me ruin your birthday.
Ruin my show.
You'd be like, oh, this motherfucker
like
is actually
the drunk
here.
Birthday girl in the audience.
Oh, no.
Oh,
it's my birthday.
We got a drunk birthday party.
It's my birthday.
My,
My favorite thing to do when people are at comedy shows, when they interrupt my set going, it's my birthday. I'm like, bitch, this isn't Applebee's. I don't give a fuck that it's your birthday. You always get to laugh. Yeah, I'm like, I don't care, girl. Oh, bitch, shut the fuck up. Cool. Another year you and you haven't learned bitch. To calm down.
You're like, oh, shit, let me get
ass
this.
Bitch.
Oh, I got a candle right here for you. Let me light it. Oh, here it is. Smoke just, on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there it is. Middle finger exposed, yeah, everyone, boom. For all let those listening.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for having me back. It's thank me, you. Beyonce. I am the mayor.
Did you go to the Beyonce show?
Wish I did. My foot injury stopped me from...
What happened to your foot?
Knowing I could commit to so much walking and standing.
If I had to guess what happened to your foot, it's that you broke it off in some absolutely. Some fool's ass.
Yeah, sideways.
Is that true?
Some fool's ass? Is that what you said?
I guess that's what I said, yeah. I don't know why I said that, but...
He's the cool guidance counselor.
My podiatrist told me I have a very unique foot injury because I hurt it in two spots. He was like, I've never seen anything like this. Because what I did was I sprained it and then I ignored the signs that it was actually badly injured and I injured it in two other spots.
Oh, no.
So I have tendonitis, a torn ligament that is almost fully healed, and then some shit happening on the bottom. Yeah, it's a disaster, and it's been now almost a year of it. So, but shit. I'm healing. I'm getting better.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I couldn't go see Beyonce because I saw her once before and it was a lot of walking from the car to the stadium, to your seats, to the bathroom, to get a drink, to buy merch. Like, it's a lot on top of she did 3 hours. And that's what I was informed of early on. And I was like, yeah, I can't handle that. So
too much.
I did not. I wish I could have. But I was also very happy because throughout all of her shows, especially in L.A., I got a lot of messages from people that were like, every time she talked, I thought of you. Every time she opened her mouth, I was like, that's how Marcella does that. And it brought me so much joy. It really warmed my spirit that I was with people at the Beyonce concert. Because it's such a beautiful album, you know, it's so loving and that's what she's all about. And I love that I was there with everybody. So it was cool.
See, experiencing your energy was channeled even there. It's so fun.
Yes. Yeah. So that was cool.
All right. Well, Marcella, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about. We're just going to do a quick check-in on Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to hear from him. You know, everybody's talking about him.
Right.
What's he have to say about what's going on with him? Because that's got to be trustworthy, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely. Important to know what he thinks.
Right, right. Because it's valid and rational.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll talk about the way that AI could be used in healthcare and then how it's actually probably going to be used and just be bad. Be bad. It's going to be bad. We'll talk about Rotten Tomatoes being full of shit, like more than we even thought, I guess.
It's easy to rig the system, turns out.
They rig, you can pay for reviews. You can just like hire some low-level reviewers to boost your score up. So all of that, plenty more. But first, Marcella, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Oh my God, my search history right now is filled with questions about Tears of the Kingdom. So I'm playing the new Zelda game. And every time I try to work on something, some side quest or some shrine, and I can't figure it out. I just Google it because I could give a fuck.
Right.
I don't care. And the last one was really funny because there's a monster character who's obsessed with monsters. His name is Kilton. And he's asking you to take pictures of other monsters so he can create, he can get like statues of these monsters made onto his property.
Mm.
And as I'm doing them, you know, you get like good rewards.
Yeah.
And as I'm doing them, I'm like, wait a minute, are all these monsters going to come to life and I'm going to have to kill them? And
you
like, this is actually creating a problem and I probably shouldn't be doing this. So the last Google search was me trying to figure out if that's what happens because I was like, I don't want to finish this quest if I am just going to create more problems for myself. And I'm happy to say that is not the case.
So shit.
So I was already on the last one, but the last one was like a three-headed monster. And I was like, this is, if he has to come to life, I'm going to like lose so many materials.
I like how you went, hold up. Now, do I really help this motherfucker out just so I could fight a fucking three-headed monster? Nah. Like that you when you have those game instincts where you're like, wait a tick.
Yeah.
Am I the architect of my own fucking downfall right now? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. it was really funny because I was like, what is the last thing I go? And I was like, wow, I really do not. I'm like, have spent so much of this game trying to avoid a lot of fighting, which is hilarious because that's it. You're either fighting or fucking wandering.
Right.
And I've been really enjoying the wandering because I noticed that my anxiety goes up when I got to fight a gang of fools.
Yeah. For real.
Just so, like real life, you know?
Just like real life. So I've been trying to avoid as much fighting if it's not necessary. So there that's a little insight because I feel like, you know, that's a good game. But also there's hacks. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a monster who's obsessed with monsters.
He's like so horny for monsters.
Yeah.
Is he just lonely?
I guess that on one hand, that's like just a people person.
Yeah,
like person
exactly.
But with monsters, it's
he's a monster monster.
Yeah. he's a monster's monster.
Exactly. You
really, you know, deep down.
Who's your monster's favorite monster?
That's right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, everybody's monster got a favorite monster.
Exactly.
Know.
Who's your favorite monster?
Who's my favorite monster? Oh, that's a good question. Oh, like in real life?
Whatever. Like, I mean, like what? When I ask that question, what comes up to the surface for you?
I think Gordon Ramsay is my favorite monster.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
He's a monster, but like he's a good monster.
Yeah.
Like, he really does want perfection off a sandwich. And you're just like, bro, what is your issue? But I get it because sandwiches can be so delicious if they're made right.
Right. Mm. I'll second that. I used to be a PA and like worked on Hell's Kitchen. And he changed the craft services company and catering for the crew because he said the food wasn't good enough. And like that's wild when you have somebody
beautiful.
Like take up for the crew to be like, the fuck is this grilled cheese? Nah. Then the next day, a new fucking catering company was in like making fucking like ribeyes and shit.
Hell
so
yeah.
He's a that's monster what... on behalf of the people.
He can
be that's why I like what he does. Yeah, absolutely.
But also he could be a monster of the crew. He also made some motherfuckers feel tiny on that set. I'm not gonna lie. But
I believe that. But that's the thing is like no monster is going to be perfect.
No monster
is flawless.
It cuts both ways. It definitely cuts
absolutely.
Both ways. Yeah,
so that's why he's my favorite monster because he's still a monster at the end of the day. But when he does some shit right, you're like, thank you for this ribeye.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly.
Oof. Do you have a favorite monster, Jack?
Thank you for asking, Ellen DeGeneres.
it's the
toothpick thing.
Right.
The creativity of the toothpick thing. What, like she would hide toothpicks around just to see if like her cleaning. It's just like such dedication to minutiae to having the terror of working for her. Pervade every like square inch of her home. It was really like an amazing level of dedication. Yeah. So
that's true. What about this new Jimmy Fallon?
Jimmy
expose?
Fallon.
That's a new monster.
I need to learn
monster.
More because he's like kind of. We're just finding out. The details are a little bit sketchy.
Sure,
but like, he's definitely
something's
monstrous.
Up.
Yeah,
but it's just he seems a little inconsistent.
Yes, absolutely.
Seems like sometimes he's like, they're like, he's so fun. And then other times they're like, it's a bad Jimmy day.
Yeah, he's a drunk today.
Right.
Well, so he might be a little bit drunk today.
Yeah.
I just like that they had the phrase, we're up against it.
That was the code word. I did not appreciate that part. There's a new article in Vulture about how the Fallon is like a bad place to work, like really bad and toxic. And he is really rough. And they talk about how the code phrase is we're really up against it today. And that meant like Jimmy is being a asshole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody steer clear. But like that, now they can't use that phrase anymore. They need to.
That's true.
And he's probably like thinking back and being like, this motherfucker always said they were up against it. I thought that was like just a thing they said.
Yeah.
Now when people
have like a food craving, like, let's go get Cheez-Its. He's like, is that the new code? Let's go get Cheez-Its. The paranoia is going to go
overwhelmed. Shut the fuck up, man. We got Cheez-Its, man. Okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
All right. What is, Marcella, what is something that you think is overrated?
You know, I couldn't think of something, maybe because I got a little high, but
I got a little high this time. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing a little bit high Marcella for the first time. She's never been a little bit high on our podcast.
Yeah.
Never been a little bit high on anyone's podcast. Okay. I trust you guys.
Yeah.
I saw
that.
Nice.
I thought there was not going to be a guest host. I was like, you know what? I can get a little high. I read the comments. People get mad that I'm so mean to Jack. And I know when I'm a little high, I'm a little more flirtatious.
I like that, Jack. You're like, it's fun. Like, you're also trying to not make that
be real.
That's fine. Like, it's all good. Also,
I love how Jack's like, be nice to Marcella when she's mean to me, guys. It's okay.
It's kind of my thing.
I mean, a lot of, and you know what's funny is a lot of guys don't understand it too. There's a comic who's like, has a little crush on me. And I'm just very mean to him.
Yeah.
And And I really give it to him more because I know he really enjoys it. And yeah, I'm waiting for him. I'm waiting for him to be like, Marcelo, why are you so mean? And, then and I like, can't wait to be like, stop asking me why I'm so mean and ask yourself why you like it, you bitch. Ow. Ooh, that's going to be a moment when he, when I have that exchange. I'm waiting. I know it's going to happen one day because it's just such a
Got it loaded.
Why are you mean to me?
You're so mean. Why do you like it, you like bitch? Oh, yeah, that's the real question. What did your mom do to you, bro? That's what I want to know.
What didn't she do?
You little pain hog.
So yeah, I'm a little high, so I'm a little more fun and more rambly, but it'll be worth it, guys. So like I just showed you, but overrated, underrated, couldn't think of something, but so I decided to Google things like, what do people find overrated? Because I was like,
there you go,
this is because it's all opinion.
Yeah,
so the top three things in the first three articles, the number one thing, one bitch wrote bacon
overrated.
Is overrated.
Okay.
So I already know the bitch has no taste. Like,
I also
know,
feel like you're about to out a bunch of our former guests. Like, what if you like named a bunch of like other people's overrated and underrated, and they were just like Googling, like, I don't have opinions. overrated, underrated?
That's probably true. Damn, I didn't think about that. You're totally right. But bacon? Come on.
Yeah,
it's bacon's a sinful good. Meat. It's so bacon, good.
I think we've said this in the past. We're like, it's properly rated. I get like 10 years ago, we were doing too much. It was OD bacon.
It's overrated by some people who are not worth paying attention to.
Like, oh, no, my who God. Are like, but
bacon people.
Yeah.
But like, who gives a fuck about them? Like, let them have their weird little thing.
Yeah, go to the, like, as they say, it's like the fucking heart attack cafe or whatever the fuck it's called, where like everything is bacon. Like, I get it. We get it. But like, don't you don't got to hate on it.
Yeah. It's so tasty. It's so good.
Yeah. What else was on that?
Like, when you find yourself being like, I don't even really like this thing that's fucking delicious and like makes my body like involuntarily do things, like water just pour out of my mouth when I taste
it. Oh my God. Oh. That's not what I thought that was going to end. Wow, exactly.
but when that's your take, like you're working too hard to have a take.
Exactly. I also just, you know, it's good when religions are like, you cannot have it. I'm like, you know, that shit is good, man.
Right. It's got to be so
out of here. So another article, I'm not going to name these people because they're all weirdos, but another person, their article, then her number one choice was clubbing.
Clubbing?
Like going out clubbing. And it was just like, you loser bitch. Like, stop imposing your introverted lifestyle on people who enjoy being outside.
Yeah. When's the last time you went to the club, though, Marcelo? You go to the club a lot?
Well, because of my foot injury.
Oh, right.
It has it's been few and far between, but I will say, like 2 weeks ago, I think, it was like my birthday party weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So it was middle of August. So yeah, like a couple weeks ago, I was out and because of my foot injury, couldn't really do much. But yeah, I took my boyfriend to this place in Modesto called Crocodile. It's like this old ass. Like, it is a wedding reception without the family. It is so fun.
Yo.
There's, like, no drinks on the dance floor. They encourage people to dress up. There is a strict dress code. And not, like, not on some,
like high
racist
fashion
dress
shit.
Code. On like, don't come in here sloppy, bro. Like, guys have to have their shirts buttoned up if they wear a button-up. Like, you cannot have a little, like, tank top showing underneath. Like, they're very much, like, nah, bro, we're here to dance and drink and have a good time and respect everybody.
Whoa.
And they're on it. Like, I saw them go up to some guy, some young dude, because he thought he could get away with whatever. Right. He was dressed up really cute, but he unbuttoned his shirt to, like, show off. And dudes came up and were like, you need to button your shirt back up, bro.
Oh, shit.
And I loved it because I was like, yeah, I got dressed up. You should be dressed up, too.
That's
couples,
fun.
Like, 70-year-old couples come in there dressed, matching, and dance the night away. Like, love going out dancing. And that's maybe that doesn't fall under clubbing, but there are places to go out and have a good time and dance and enjoy yourself. And I hate when people are like, clubbing is so lame. Like, girl, you just don't like to drink and be out and it's loud and you're probably neurodivergent. You can't handle all the fucking sensory overload shit. That's
you
one
might be
thing.
Going to the wrong clubs. Like,
you
go to a club like
to
this.
Clubs.
This shit sounds so fun. We had another guest talk about like going to. Like there was like a chandelier room where they were like singing Elvis covers or some shit. Like it's just like go find a weird club to
find
like,
the
go
club.
Dance
yes,
at.
Find the club that works for you, but don't shit on clubbing. Come on,
this is wild.
And I Jersey Shore shit. I get like you don't want to be around that. I understand
right,
that,
right,
but
right,
like
right.
sure,
You know, there's so many different things.
What about Bottle Wars? Did y'all see that clip over the weekend of the Bottle Wars shit that was going on?
No.
Like a Houston nightclub. It was like New York versus Baltimore. Bottle. It's like this shit people have been doing for a while. You just start emptying bottles onto the floor for the flex.
Oh, God.
I like hate that. Dumping like $6,000 worth of liquor like onto the floor.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
That's rude.
It's the flex. You know what I mean? It manifests in different ways. But I'm at the Crocodile's website. I'm looking at, they have a whole dress code subpage. Like, so women, no sports attire, no t-shirts, no sweats, no baseball caps, beanies, no overly revealing clothing. I like that. They're like, we're modest. Then men, collared dress shirts required, no sports attire, no t-shirts, no longer short sleeve shirts, no Henleys, no shallow V-necks. Oh, Henley style and shallow V-necks? Okay. No hoodies. Okay.
Shallow V-neck.
Nice dress sweaters? Okay.
But no, I can't get away caps? With my shit that I try and pull off with my V-neck.
That's right.
No,
that's right.
Deep,
deep V.
Yeah.
No.
You know, you got that J-Lo deep V.
Like where I'm flirting with exposing navel.
Yeah, 100%. No sweats, no baggy loose clothing, no club colors. What are club colors? Are they trying to say like gang?
Club colors, like gang colors, like red, white.
Okay.
I mean, red, black. I mean, red, blue.
Yeah.
And then whatever else.
No sandals, flip flops, no fan.
You can't wear red or blue? Or you just can't wear all red or all
blue? You're saying.
It depends on the red or the blue. You can usually tell.
Right. Yeah, if you don't have like a flag coming out your pocket with your like cobalt suit on, then maybe we have a problem. Wait, so but you're saying this isn't on some like racist shit because it's very much like they just want everybody to come in like it's a nice place.
Like it's a nice place. I'm telling you, that's not there. They're totally like, trust me, hood motherfuckers show up. Trust.
But they're in their like player. But they're in their player.
They're in their player fit. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like
okay.
It seems like it, off top, I get it, but when you're reading it, but I'm telling you, it's not that. They're like, no, you can be hood as fucking here, and you can like be annoying and all that shit, but just be cute. Don't be a messy on the dance floor. You can't, like, they really are just like, no, we're just here. It's like family. Like, it's like a family function.
I love it.
Wow. It's really fun.
The interior does look like a time capsule.
It is, dude. It's so fun. If you're ever in the Central Valley and you want to go out, especially on Saturday night, Friday nights are pretty empty, but Saturday nights are always popping. They're so, and it's, the music is insane. Yeah, there it is. The music is insane. Yes.
Dude, this looks like it's like a fucking scene in Carlito's Way or
some shit. Yes, dude.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. When you walk in there, you want to look cute.
Right.
They want you to match the vibe.
It's like Carlito's Way mixed with a laser tag. Like the way the lighting is on that shit.
It's cute. So the music, like the other day, it was like, it went from like Suavemente to like Eminem. Like the music is insane. It's silly. It's just, you're there for a silly time.
Right.
And that's the other thing. That's why it's like, even the music is like kind of corny, but like in that fun way where you're like, we never in high school.
Yeah.
You know, you're at a party. You're just like, you know, you're just going to be kissing tonight. That's it.
Wow. Right. Shout out Crocodiles.
I love Crocodiles. It's the funnest.
All right. So finding a weird club is underrated.
Yeah.
Finding a like cool.
Yeah, exactly. She was saying
vibe.
It was overrated, but it's like, nah, man, find the clubs that work for you.
Yeah. Right.
And then the final article that I saw that I've only gave the first one for the other two articles. I got to give the two on this one because it's really funny how they go hand in hand. This guy's idea of what's overrated. The first one is formal education, which I agree. But then the second one is science.
Uh-oh. This guy's got some opinions on the vaccine. He's got some.
Exactly.
He's done some research, some of his own research on the vaccine. I don't think he's a fan of Fauci.
Yeah, because it's like, oh yeah, formal education. I agree. Not everybody should be required to fucking for any fucking job to have fucking AABA, any of that shit. There's plenty of jobs that don't need that shit. Yeah. And then he said science, and I was like, bro, I'm tapping out. Like we are not agreeing on the same number one.
He's like, yeah, well, I got my master's degree on YouTube. You know what I mean? So
that's
like.
Right.
That's why I can go toe to toe with any person who went to a brick and mortar college. I'm like, okay, sure. Okay.
I actually got a Bachelor of Science from Prager University.
From Prager.
Which that's University. Not usually their specialty.
It's all Christ-based. It's all faith-based science.
Yeah.
I got mine at Ragu University.
Ragu.
All sauce.
Prago, Ragu old world style degree.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll check in with Donald Trump. We like to do it once a week. Just make sure he's doing all right. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And we like just checking with Donald Trump every once in a while. See how he's doing.
Don't we, folks? I love checking in with Donald Trump.
About him. Mm-hmm. But what's he have to say about what he's up to, Miles?
Oh, just quick checking for starters. The judge in his second E. Jean Carroll defamation case, he's already been like, yo, man, you're liable. Okay, so the only thing now left to do is for the jury to just get together in January and just figure out how much you owe E. Jean Carroll. This isn't about whether or not you are guilty or not. Like, we've determined that. So this jury will get together just to figure out to put a price tag on the fuckery. Mind you that he already has to pay her $5 million from the previous judgment. And Trump was trying to get the judge to put a cap on the damages and be like, well, I've already paid five. The judge's like, nah.
Seems like you're pretty rich. You keep saying that. It's kind of your whole thing, right?
Yeah, so, you got it like that,
right? Here,
what's
right?
another 10 million, right?
Right.
That's fine. Just sell a couple more mugs with your mugshot on it. But anyway.
That's like that classic, like a young rapper has way too much shit on his IG and then he fucking has to go to court for some shit and they just pull up his IG like, bro, look at all this money and drugs like and guns and shit, bro. What are you doing? Stop putting your own shit on blast.
I have nothing, Your Honor, please. Yeah. They're like, you just bought a fucking $300,000 chain with your face made of diamonds.
Right, right. Well, you just bought a new weave for sure.
That's my character. Has Donald Trump tried that's a character I
that's
play.
That's interesting. Ooh. That's a good idea.
Elected president. So who is stupid now? You elected a WWE character president, dumbass.
That is such a good
actually
idea.
Broke.
That's too short carrying his wife's purse in the airport.
Yeah.
You know, right.
Yes.
They're like, that's a character, sir. Okay.
Yeah.
Although Trump, he probably looked good with a lace front, though. If he probably, I'm surprised.
I mean, he does look good with the lace front. That's what he's wearing, right?
I mean, he could go harder, but hey, I get it. He only trusts him to apply it.
Sure.
But so anyway, the next thing that happened was his documents case, right? Trump seems to be at the end of his rope here in terms of like what his possible defense could be, because obviously this case isn't the most significant for him from like a legal standpoint, like not like the RICO case and shit, you know, or the other shit happening in D.C. But this, like, it's clear now he doesn't really have like a articulated defense because he keeps saying the same thing over and over. He was on a Hugh Hewitt show and he was talking about how like, I'll take the stand, I'll take the stand. And also about how he's protected under the Presidential Records Act. Spoiler alert, he is not. But I just listen to this now of him just going yammering on about how he's all good in this case because it doesn't matter.
Did you direct anyone to move the boxes, Mr. President? Did you tell anyone to move the boxes?
I don't talk about anything. You know why?
I don't talk about anything.
I'm allowed to do whatever I want. I come under the Presidential Records Act. I'm not telling you, you know, every time I talk to you, oh, I have a breaking story. You don't have any story. I come under the Presidential Records Act. I'm allowed to do everything I did.
But if you,
so
Who is Hugh Hewitt?
Hugh Hewitt is like one of these like goony right wing, like radio dudes, like commentator guys. He's
like right wing. He's part of the right wing that Trump thinks is against him. No.
Yeah, but he'll also vacillate between reasonable conservative and then just, you know, full throat boot licking. So, God, you know,
man,
it's hard.
He loves this shit so much, Trump. He loves going on a show and being like, you don't got shit. You're fucking stupid.
I also just love that he's energy. Like, yes, everything I did it because I could do it, but I definitely did it. Like, bro, shut the fuck up.
But then and if I have this interpretation of the law incorrect, I'm totally fucked. But I did it. And there's nothing you could do because I'm bulletproof, baby.
It's really funny. I was like, you have nothing, but I did it. You have nothing, but I did it.
I can do that, but I can do that is the thing. But I'm not
shit.
But I'm not telling you. That's how he also said, like, I don't have to tell you.
But here is my confession.
But I did that
shit. These are my confessions.
Thank you. Where's Usher
Rain? I'm not doing that because it would be good for your ratings. Well, then, is basically what
he goes on again. And then Hugh Hewitt's like, all right, hypothetical. You're on the stand. What you going to say?
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
I think that. Okay, if you do, and they ask you on the stand, did you order anyone to move boxes? How will you answer?
I'm not answering that question for you, but I'm totally covered under the law.
Okay.
If you read the Presidential Records Act, just read it. You take a look at it. I'm totally covered under the law.
Spoiler alert, he is in fact not fucking covered under the Presidential Records Act.
Just read it, Miles. Just read it.
Just read it.
Yeah,
says
I will.
He can do
because
whatever he wants.
Any asshole with Google, including myself, can look up the Presidential Records Act, and it states that all White House records related to government business are public property, and that when the president and vice president leave office, those documents must be transferred to the National Archives for preservation. So there's not a single thing under there that is being like, just read it. I'm covered. It's like, you're not, but you're just trying to do that thing where you think if you say that shit over and over and over again, that I'm sure maybe some of the people listening to that interview might believe that. But when it goes to, when it's actually presented, they're going to be like, sir, it doesn't say anything about that shit here at all.
And he's surrounded by lawyers who are on his payroll, and he's fired all the ones who tell him the stuff that he doesn't want to hear.
Yeah.
So he's just strong and wrong, baby. Strong and wrong.
I bet his lawyer's like, we're up against it today, folks. We're up against it. We're up against it. Did you hear that fucking interview? I'm covered. It's like, what is he even talking about? So
he did it. It doesn't matter. He did it and he's covered. Yeah. Chill out, Miles.
And also the thing is, this guy, he's always pump faking like he'll take the stand. He says that all the time. He's like, I'll take the stand. It doesn't matter. Da, da, blah, blah, blah. He never does. So again, this is just where he's at. He's only got a bunch of pump faking left, and I don't know where it's going to end up. But hey,
you wish I'd take the stand. Be good for your ratings.
What would you say? I'm not telling you, but I'm good under the law. I could do whatever I want. That's essentially your answer.
Yeah.
Right. But okay.
Yes, I did it. But I'm protected, right, Judge? I'm protected, right?
I'm protected from what? Here? That I could do anything.
No, we good here?
We good here? He's going to do that. That's good. He's going to sit down and be like, Presidential Records Act. We good here.
We good here. I'm covered.
Got a tea time.
Do you think that if he took the stand, he would Because he either talks one in two ways. He confidently speaks with a lot of hand gestures, or he has both hands planted.
Right.
What do you think his strategy would be?
I don't know. If he's that, I don't know, with his back against the wall, I feel like he might be energetic. But you think about, remember that time like in the E. Jean Carroll depositions when he's like, I don't know her. And then he mistook her for his wife in the photo.
Oh, my God.
It's like, you never want this dude. Even if he is behaving, he's going to fucking self-own somehow up there.
I know. It's so wild.
Who's that?
I've
like, that's
never
my
seen
wife.
That woman before. There I am with my beautiful wife. Look at
my
her.
Sexy,
isn't she beautiful
wife.
Sexy,
she's so
beautiful.
Beautiful, sexy wife that I would rail any chance I got. Who? That woman, I don't know her. She's ugly.
That's E. Jean Carroll, sir. They're like, oh, okay. So I'm
what?
No further questions.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No further answers, please.
That's his lawyer.
That's going to be his lawyer. No further answers.
No further answers, Your Honor.
What is that?
I object to what? No further answers.
No further answers. So what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
You got to name that the pod. No further answers.
No further answers, Your Honor.
The trials of Donald J. Trump. No further answers.
That's pretty good. All right. In other news, that's going to be my new transition. There's been a lot of discussion lately about AI replacing writers, taxi drivers. There's also a lot of concern regarding whether or not AI should replace doctors.
Mm-mm-mm.
And so there's been articles claiming that AI can help the healthcare industry. And that is absolutely true. Like, there's been articles that claim that like AI chatbots can help healthcare, like doctors with their bedside manner. There's ways that it helps cut time with like finding data retrieval and like big diagnostic things. Those are all true, but it's always being framed as like replacing the doctors.
Better than a doctor or nurse.
Better than doctor. Just like they want it to be something that it's not. They want it to be robot doctor who's like, you know, just that's the only person you deal with. And it's like definitely does not work that well. Like for instance, one of the studies, by the way, the methodology is comparing ChatGPT with like ChatGPT responses to questions that people posed in a Ask Docs subreddit with like what the actual doctors in a subreddit said. And then being like, they actually like did better than the doctors and on Reddit. So I think they could replace them like that.
Wow. That's some low hanging ass fruit right there to try and make your point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that there are like ChatGPT is a good tool. Like it's a cool tool. It's like they're trying to replace, they're like when Google, if Google was invented and they were like, well, you don't need lawyers anymore. You don't need doctors right. anymore because all you need to do is Google this shit.
Ask a question.
And it's like, no, this is a good tool for doctors. I want my doctor to Google what I have, but I don't want my doctor to
be Google.
To be Google. Exactly. And I want my doctor to have some of their energy saved up by using this language model to help them like write emails that are clear and concise and like convey the information that needs to be conveyed. I don't need them to use this language model to replace the doctor, which is just going to be a worse thing. Like it's just going to create a thing, like a thing that's harder to tell that you're being fucked over because they are able to like string together sentences that make it sound like you're dealing with an actual healthcare professional, but it's actually like a medical chatbot. Like there are, so they've already been testing this MedPalm 2 at the Mayo Clinic. And like the way they write about it is like, in almost every metric, such as showing evidence of reasoning, consensus supported answers, the MedPalm 2 performed more or less as well as the actual doctors. It's like, what? It shouldn't be a fucking competition.
Yeah.
Like that's insane to like think of it as a competition. It's not supposed to be replacing them. It should be improving the quality of care that people get, which is an actual problem that everybody like seems to acknowledge in the United States. It's like really hard to get good medical care. But it really feels like it's because of the private equityification of the U.S. Like the fact that the only thing that excites the people who make the decisions at a high level is cutting costs and like improving profit. And so their interpretation of AI is not like, here's a good tool that will improve the product, because they don't give a fuck about the product. All they care about is finding ways to cut costs. And so that's why it's always being framed as, well, this can replace people. And
right.
It's like, no, it can make people better at their job, maybe, if you like give them a chance to learn how to use it. And if you like think about it in a way that's like patient and thoughtful. But instead, the only thing that they care about is cutting how many jobs they can cut, which is, it's crazy that like we are allowing that to be the way that this technology is being written about and like thought about at a broad level.
Right.
You know,
a lot of it is looking as like, oh, AI is here to make everything like obsolete, or it's like the be all end all of certain industries. Like that's sort of the dominant narrative, which has everyone being like, so it's smarter than a doctor. So it's better than a doctor. So it's better than a writer. It's like rather than, well, no. And even like what they're talking about when they're like analyzing the performance of that one AI, it's like performed more or less as well as the actual doctors. Well, what's less?
Yes.
Like how bad is less? Like that's kind of a big fucking deal if you completely misdiagnose shit, because like with all AI, like, you know, you can already see how there's going to be like the kind of care can be all fucked up based on like racial biases and shit like that.
Yes.
Because even when you look at, right, even if it is going through like actual data, if you look at clinical trials for certain medications, if sometimes a certain ethnic group isn't responding as well as another, they will just preclude them from participating in the study to make the results look better. Where it's like, well, this shit actually works better for white Alzheimer's patients and not black or Latino Alzheimer's patients. So like, let's have a couple of them in there, but mostly the white ones, because those are showing us the best results. And we already have a deficit in even how we even are testing certain things. So
And I bet with like a really good doctor like that, and somebody who's like really smart about how they use AI, AI could actually be used to like fight against the biases that do exist with doctors. Like doctors are not above that shit by any means. Like some of the most sexist, racist motherfuckers in, you know, out here, because they're like sitting there getting told they're like incredibly smart and they have like a lot of authority. And so whenever there's a lot of authority, you see a lot of biases and shit like just go unchecked. So there's a problem. There's an issue there. And I don't think that, like, I think in a different world where we don't approach a technology and say, how many jobs could this cut? Like, as the first question, we would be approaching this and being like, oh, this is a great opportunity to fucking, like, improve medical care and, like, cut out all this bias, all these biases by, like, you know, doing, like, approaching data differently or, like, using, like, approaching people, you know, just doing a better job of like parsing through massive amounts of data without racism goggles on, you know? But
yeah, I always find it interesting when you actually stumble upon a really good doctor, and like the thing that you notice from a good doctor to a not good doctor is that they actually like take their time and they want to know the real personal root of like where the fuck this shit is coming from, you know? And you're not just filling out a form that says like, yes, that's my father had cancer and died. Like you're you know, you're actually engaging with like, okay, like what does this mean? And what does that mean? And where is this? And where do you work? And what's your stress levels? And like, when you have a doctor that really cares, it's such a fucking huge difference. And if they did have those tools and they could like, you know, precision focus on whatever it is that's bothering you, it would be so nice in an ideal way. And it's also going back to what you were saying, Jack, about how like it's crazy that like when we get some technology, it's like, how do we cut jobs?
Yeah.
And it's wild that right now the AI conversation is like that, but it's also not, because when you think about the way people talk about immigrants and immigrants taking people's jobs, it's like there's so much disconnect of like what's really happening in all of these industries. And AI is just about to make that shit so much worse. And that's of course why they're doing the double strike with my industry. And it's really fascinating to be in it so deep. And it seems to be like every industry is getting affected by this shit. It's really wild. Like where is this going? I don't know.
Yeah. Cause it starts off as being like, this will help people's efficiency. And then again, like when you start, if you have like a company that has to answer to Wall Street, then you can see how that pressure can turn into like, well, why don't we just make them all a bunch of chatbots? Or at least a lot of them could be, you know, for a lot of this shit. And it is a slippery slope. And like, to the point of like, I get to, because some like medical systems are so overburdened. Like, I feel like doctors, they're like, I have to see like 900 fucking people in a day because they're already cutting costs that I can't give the quality of care.
Right.
So shit is slipping through the cracks. And that happened tragically with my cousin. You know, like having something completely misdiagnosed, go completely under the fucking radar, and then, oh, sorry, you have stage 4 cancer.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
That's what happens.
And you think about how frequent that kind of shit happens, like how frequently that kind of thing happens. And you're like, isn't there a way to help that for somebody who, unfortunate, like, you know, I guess I won't say that a doctor's negligent because I don't know what the fuck their work environment is like.
Sure.
But those are the instances where you feel like, couldn't that help? Like more or less
if
people
they have
fall
more
through
time.
The yeah.
yeah
fall through the fucking cracks of being like, no, you're fine, it's fibroids, don't worry about it, don't worry about it, don't worry about it, and then it's hey, we totally fucked that up, sorry.
Yeah,
that's just, I think those
sorry,
are
sorry, bye bye. Yeah, and then those that's are, it. That's yeah. that's what's fucked up.
Yeah,
it's that.
That's where you're hoping that then is there a way to improve that? You know what I mean? But not just wholesale being like, and the shit is more popping than doctors. End of. Moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get into the deeper conversation of like medical school being so fucking expensive and only certain types of people have access to. And I mean, that's what's fucked is there's so many layers that's happening in this conversation that we're trying to have.
Right.
Yeah. That it's like you feel fucking crazy because you're just like, I just want everyone I love to get good health care. Why is that so hard?
Right. Why do you have to like, there has to be like a shortage of doctors and they have to be like treated like shit, like professionally hazed to like there's like stories when like people are going through medical school, they're like these stories where it's like, yeah, so like I would be driving to work and like part of my routine was I would fall asleep at the red light and then people would wake me up by honking at me when the light turned green, and that's how I would like sleep during medical school. It's like
Jesus,
well, why no other profession.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. But there is this interesting case study of like, because the whole AI thing and like everybody going crazy about AI right now is really like a media bubble. And like this technology has been around. It's just like once ChatGPT happened and a lot of people were like, whoa, it feels like I'm talking to a person
right.
when I talk to this thing and they give me answers. Yes, the answers aren't correct, but they get a lot of shit wrong. But it's interesting that it can type answers. So I'm impressed. But like there's been AI for a while, and there was this company called Babylon Health, a startup in 2018, that they had an AI chatbot that was reportedly able to diagnose medical conditions as accurately as a doctor. And that claim was based on a study that, as noted in a follow-up paper by researchers, did not offer convincing evidence that Babylon can perform better than doctors in any realistic situation, and there is a possibility that it might perform significantly worse.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, it's just, like, the over-promising of the technology, like, just immediately, like, starts immediately, because the second you have something like this, it gets put in a room with people who are like, how do we at the highest level, as people who aren't involved in this at all, we're not doctors, how do we make the most money off of that? And the way to make the most money off of that is to just give unrealistic prognostications of like what the thing's going to be able to do and like not work with it at all. And I feel like that's what AI is to a large degree. It's like a word for tech advances that we already have or that have been happening for a while, but the media bubble is like an opportunity for these like financial powers to like dig in and try to make money by like claiming that they can cut jobs. But anyways, this Babylon company, the NHS, the British like healthcare system, signed a big contract with them to like take over, signed 3 projects with the UK's NHS hospital trusts, and they ended up canceling almost all of them like 8 years before they were supposed to. And yeah.
Also, I wonder if the person who named it was like a Rastafarian, was looking at it like a Babylon type thing, you know, like real, like the oppressive systems that we live under, according to the Rastafarian version of Babylon. Like, this is bullshit. This is hyper-capitalist oppressive bullshit.
they invented it and were like, uh-oh. Oh, this is bad.
Call it Babylon. Yeah, yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
I have two thoughts. First one is, I think it's also amusing because at some point in the future, like, yeah, they'd get these AI, whatever, chatbot to come fucking take over the doctor's job. But then there's going to be the next level of exploitation after that, where now, like, your privacy is at risk. Like, literal pictures of your body are now in, like, hidden within these AI chat GPT. You know, men are going to fucking hack that shit. Now they got pictures of my pussy because my gynecologist had to, like, do some, you know, shit with, you know, taking pictures and check if I got fibroids, you know, whatever. It's like, you know, that's the next level once they introduce the shit. I mean, that's what's happening with fucking cars. Did you see that article about cars?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that, where they're
all spying.
They're keeping tabs on your sex life, on everything. Like, that, you get that smart shit in anything and you're going to get to that point where it's like, it just gets nasty.
It was wild. Yeah, how, like, that article ended with, like, there ain't a damn company that isn't fucking with your data. Yeah. They said except for two, and they were, like, based in Europe because they have to actually abide by their privacy laws. Everybody else, they're hoovering up your fucking data.
They're watching you fuck.
They're watching you. Good luck. They're watching you fuck. That's the slogan.
You thought when the car was off, its headlights weren't watching you?
Nasty.
Wait, what?
The car is nasty.
Yeah, nasty. Yeah. And then the second thought I had was, it's interesting how, I think naturally all technology, there's a dark side to it, right? Any invention is going to have a dark side to it. You know, you invent the car and it's made to transport, but you can kill somebody with your car. So it made me think about how, like, I wonder if when pins were invented, like who was the first person to die getting stabbed by a pin?
Oh,
and
yeah.
They were like, this is out of control. This is why we can't have pins in our household or pencils or whatever the fuck. There's literally, this is human nature, it seems, where it's like you invent something and it's going to be used for evil because that's the way humans work.
I mean, we already have this one example that's pretty creepy. Like, so, like, there's this thing called DeepScribe, which is, it's like your doctor will use it to record your conversation with your doctor, and it captures the encounters in real time and automatically extracts medical information throughout the conversation, which that sounds like a good idea, good use of the technology, except the software was only able to catch 80% of what was recorded.
Okay.
Their AI would have, quote, hallucinations and provide, quote, false information about patients, including errors in listing medications, which seems pretty bad. So to fix this issue, the company hired a team of 200 random people who would fix the notes by listening into these supposedly private recordings of medical appointments. So problem solved. Just got random, you know, a random
job creation. All I'm hearing, Jack, is job creation. Money. I mean, come on, bro. You're hating.
That's true.
Yeah, shout out to those 200 humans.
Yes.
That's so crazy. I hate it.
Yeah. And then they're also using it to screw you over on insurance claims.
Of course.
So.
Oh, we didn't even get to the good part. Yeah. Where they're like, this will just go through insurance claims to help a doctor deny all of them.
Yeah.
It makes it easier to deny.
The insurance company Cigna is being sued for using an AI algorithm instead of doctors to review customer claims, allowing their doctors to deny claims without ever opening patient files.
That's great. I like how, this, like, one example is this woman who was getting an ultrasound because they thought she may have ovarian cancer, and they found a cyst, and then Cigna just denied her claim for the ultrasound and a follow-up procedure.
Claiming neither were medically necessary and leaving her on the hook for $723.
Which is wild, because they could have just done that without the AI.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, okay, sure. I guess it's more efficient or just as fucked up.
Yeah. All right. Should we take one more break and come back and talk about the real scandal that Rotten Tomatoes might not be as trustworthy as we all thought?
Oh, no.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. Or do you want to bring us back, Marcella?
And we're back.
Hey. Yes.
There we go with gusto.
One of the best in the business. All right. So Rotten Tomatoes. I've been a Rotten Tomatoes skeptic for a while.
You are that kind of white guy.
He got it tatted.
I have some thoughts about Rotten Tomatoes.
I bet you do.
Pull up a seat, Marcella.
I just closed my laptop.
That would be in your online dating profile. It's like, here's some things about me. Rotten Tomatoes skeptic.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Follower
cool,
of
man.
Christ.
I prefer Metacritic personally.
Oh my God.
Because
Jack,
they have a little bit more specific with the inputs that they put in. So like a 5-star review, it's not just fresh. It is, you know, input as a 10 out of 10.
Okay. Wait, back it up a second. Who is submitting to Rotten Tomatoes for those that don't know, like me, for example?
Movie critics.
Okay. But what, who defines that?
Who defines the movie critics? That's a great point.
Yeah.
And a great question. And it is the crux of the issue.
Right.
Because Rotten Tomatoes determines it, and the owners of Rotten Tomatoes have some say into who gets allowed in there. And you'll never believe this. Rotten Tomatoes is owned by a movie studio.
Oh.
They're owned by Universal Pictures and Warner Brothers. They're owned by Warner Brothers and Fandango, which shares a parent company with Universal Pictures. So, yeah. So it was just revealed that a PR company called Bunker 15, which is just like, ugh.
What a name.
You know that's a shit job. Like if someone's like, where do you work? Bunker 15. They're like, oh, I don't know what that is, but I'm sorry.
Who's your boss? Pepe the Frog? Jesus Christ.
Oh, really?
Bunker 15.
It's the Wojak meme. Yeah.
Bunker 15 juiced the Rotten Tomatoes scores of the movie Ophelia, because when the reviews came out, this is a feminist retelling of Hamlet starring Ophelia.
Oh, okay. Barf. This time.
And the reviews came out and it was coming in at a 46%, which classifies it as rotten. And then Bunker 15 offered critics, in quotes, $50 or more to post positive reviews, which bumped the rating up to fresh. And the next month, the movie was acquired for distribution. So,
damn, for 50 bucks, starting for 50 bucks.
It's so low. Like, that's what it's so fucking cheap. Like, what?
Y'all, if you're sucks, if you're gonna, like, if you're gonna sell out your little Rotten Tomatoes cred, go get some more fucking coin than that.
Yeah.
This just shows you how much people are fucking whack as fuck and sellouts and have no morals or ethics. And
yeah.
But they're also, I mean, like, here's the thing you don't know. I do about 40 of these a day.
So right.
When I get 50 exactly. these, I'm making $2,000 a day. Actually, I'm doing all right.
Yeah. I mean, that is how they think, though.
I bet. I'm sure.
So Bunker 15 denied the allegations, but also admitted they have a, quote, small handful of writers that are set up a specific system where filmmakers can sponsor or pay to have them review a film, which doesn't sound like a denial of the allegations.
I like how they go, hey, man, are you paying critics to like, you know, pad the reviews of films that are your clients at your PR company?
We absolutely deny that, Miles.
No. Yeah. Well, we do have
some critics who
we can
will
pay.
Be paid.
They got the same PR company as Trump, huh?
I know, right?
I did it, but I protected, so.
Yeah, right. They're saying we're covered under the Presidential Records Act. So next question, my honor.
And since the Vulture piece went up alleging all of this, the Ophelia page has disappeared from Rotten Tomatoes.
And and they use this to secure distribution?
Yeah. So that's money right there. That feels like a lawsuit from whoever bought the distribution rights for that movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's really I don't think
that thing made much money.
Oh shit. So if you Google it, it'll give you a result on Google. Then you go, and guess what, homie? It's 404, baby.
Mm.
Not here. The droids you are looking for are not here. These are not the droids you're looking for.
That movie ended up making $242,000, which I think is probably more than anybody paid to
for it. Made $242,000.
It's not good. But Rotten Tomatoes has always seemed completely suspect and like arbitrary. You'd see like a movie that like doesn't have good reviews, and you go on Rotten Tomato and it would be like 76% like fresh. It's like, what's anybody? We're just taking their word for it. And they've also they delayed the posting of the reviews of Justice League when that came out in 2017. Like, it got real bad reviews, but they like wouldn't post the reviews for a while because they wanted people to buy tickets.
That was
they
like
didn't
one
want
of
anybody
the
to find out the movie was bad.
Yeah, and one of our earliest Brothers episodes movie. Was I remember us talking about that, and we're like, "What? They can do that?" And then we're like, "Oh, Warner Brothers owns it. Okay, I guess they
Warner
can
Brothers
do that
owns
shit."
Rotten Tomatoes.
It's so wild that like this country is so like freedom of speech, and at any chance anyone gets like, but how much does it cost to get you to change that speech?
Right, right, exactly.
How can I buy
cost
you?
Of speech? Yeah, cost of speech. Like, God, that's so wild. I mean,
we got discounted speech over here if you're looking for it.
Shit. It's also like, I know that when I use like Yelp, because I don't use Rotten Tomatoes, I don't give a shit about movies. But when I use Yelp, I'm definitely always like, I can't trust you. Like,
no.
I hate when like you read something and you're like, this has nothing to do with the food.
Right. Well, you know? Because there's Yelp reviews where you go, oh, you fucked up on your anniversary dinner, bro.
Exactly.
And you're taking it out on this restaurant that they didn't have X, Y, and Z, because it's like, I made a reservation that day. And then when we got there, it's like, hold on,
of course, is the, I eat here a million times, but today, and it's like, Mitch, why didn't you review the other million times? when he killed it. That's the actual review I want. But anyways, so I'm curious, when you guys use Rotten Tomatoes, like, is there ever like, you feel like, this person is insincere or this is suspect? Like, can you read that the way that you can kind of see it in Yelp?
The other thing that's really weird
is
that
I don't know.
It's totally subjective whether a review is rotten or fresh. You know?
What
like
do you mean?
Like, if they give it like 2 stars, sometimes they'll put that as rotten or as fresh. Like, it totally
That's weird.
Like, it's really, there's a lot of like shading.
Inconsistency.
Inconsistency.
Okay.
Thank you. Which is why if you'll check your inbox, I've just sent you a 15-page slideshow.
Metacritic is the superior website.
Metacritic, the superior website. All right, Marcella, such a pleasure having you. As
Thank
always.
You. I wasn't mean.
You were so wonderful. It
was so
great.
I was so boring.
Slightly
Thank
high.
You very much.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed out. Yeah, there boring. You go. Bring it back. Where's that? Dial the smoke up real quick.
I'll come back. And I got to promote. I got to sell tickets to this show. So I was like, let me be nice. Even though I don't like being nice.
Nah. I mean,
it's
you
boring.
Are. I don't think, I think it's a misnomer to even to categorize you being mean or
you
nice.
Know, you know, Miles, I mean? We agree on that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know we agree. I want to work on a bit about character versus demeanor.
Yeah.
Because people confuse your demeanor with your character. This is not how it should be. But, you know, people aren't ready for all that shit. People
are
so
not.
Like, oh my God, she said, please. Shut the fuck up. She stole your husband when she said, please, bitch. That's so dumb.
Shit.
Anyways, that was my final rant. Thank you so much. You can find me at Marcella Comedy. And now, reminder, I will be headlining the Hollywood Improv September 15th. I'm coming to Chandler, Arizona on September 22nd. I'll be in Portland headlining High Note Comedy on the 28th. I'll also be opening for Michelle Buteau. So if you got tickets, I think there's still one more show with her. I'm excited about that. I'm also coming to the Santa Cruz Festival in October, and I'm doing Vegas in November, but I think I'll be back to kick it with that. You guys
Hell
do that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amazing. Do you like doing Vegas? You like doing Vegas?
This is my first time doing Vegas.
Oh, wow.
It's a middle of the week show, so I'm excited about that because I really feel like the weekend crowd is fucking too insane.
Yeah, bonkers. You're going to have people who've already like lost their mortgage.
Oh my God. I mean, you're going to have that any day of the week, but on the weekend, true. There are like people coming to have a weekend to really lose big.
Exactly. Yeah. Somebody who like already legally died at a hospital and then came back drunk for like your show.
Yeah. During the week, you got all the people that have like their little vouchers and their discounted rooms.
Yeah.
And, you
the
know,
pros.
The pros. That's so I am excited about that. But I don't know how that's going to be. I've never done Vegas.
I'm excited.
Piece of media I'm enjoying is my friend Corey Lekasik has this, you guys would appreciate this. I had it written down in the room and I had to come down here, but I think it's like Molly Bro on Instagram. And he's going viral right now because he was at Burning Man. And so he just is like doing like a, hey guys, do you need a sponsor? If you want to sponsor us, we're here stranded. Just $1 will get us. If a million of you donate, $1 can get us hella Molly. It's just like the funniest, stupidest shit. He's part of a crew called the Dress Up Gang, which Frankie Quinones is also in, which you guys know creeper from Cholo Fit.
Yeah.
But it's just such a funny character. His name is Molly Bro on Instagram. I think I have it wrong. Let me see if I can't pull it up. Official Molly Bro is his Instagram handle.
That's amazing.
And he has really silly Molly content. And it's actually very funny. I don't do Molly, but you know, I can appreciate a good character.
Yeah. Why not? Of course.
And Miles, where can people find you? Is there work and media you've been enjoying?
Yeah. Find me Twitter, Instagram, all them at based life forums at Miles of Gray. You know where to find us with our basketball takes. That's Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. If you like 90 Day Fiance, check Sophie Alexandra and I out on 420 Day Fiance and the True Crime Show. Check it out. The Good Thief. Please check it out. And let's see, a tweet I like from Brittany Nichols at B is hilarious tweeted, strike needs to end. You know how many birds I can name now? It's too much. and I'm like, if that's the metric you're using, like, oh no, I've become a bird watching fool and now I'm having arguments over what kind of hawks there are. I get it. Maybe outside a little too long.
Wait, I always saw her at was Bish hilarious. Wow, I've been reading it wrong this whole time.
I think I feel like it could be both because I used to read it like that too, and then I was like, "Well, it's B is, but it's also look, it's up to the reader."
She's a great writer. I think we can all agree on that.
Oh, we can all agree on that. We
Jack, where can people find you? What's a piece of
media
you're enjoying?
Oh my God,
thank you
so much for asking. You can find me at Jack_O'Brien. Tweet I'm enjoying is from Brian Jordan Alvarez, who tweeted, "Courtyard Marriott, Marion Cotillard." Really makes you think. And it did all night. Couldn't stop thinking about it.
Also, you guys should be saying an ex that I like, not a tweet that I like.
Fuck that. No, absolutely.
No, we're not
fuck
doing that.
That.
We're not.
No, just gave me the dirtiest look. Like,
I will not.
No. I did the Russell Westbrook.
Formerly known as Twitter.
Bro,
fuck you.
No.
Every publication in America.
I'm sorry, Jack. Where can people find you?
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter.
Hey.
Twitter.
On
you
X.
can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what is a song that you think people might enjoy?
I think we're going to go out on a little bit of some UK rap here, some drill from Quengface, Quengface. This is the remix to the track Freedom. It's called Freedom 2 with Joy Orbison and Overmano, I think, are the beat makers that flipped the beat. But anyway, wow. Freedom with the number 2 by Quengface. Get into it.
Do it. All right. Well, we'll link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Yeah. That is going to do it for us this morning. We are back on Monday with a episode where Miles and I are going to tell you what was trending over the weekend. We'll tell you stuff we think is overrated, underrated. Mm-hmm. Monday, like early afternoon-ish, and then Tuesday with a special episode. And we'll talk to you all then. Have a great... Oh, and there will be a highlight reel of the best of this week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
The weekly zeitgeist. So much shit for you guys to pay attention to.
Did you guys do like a VH1 countdown style?
Of our greatest hits of the week.
Number 5 this week.
Number
what is
5.
It,
yeah. Brought to you by Coca-Cola Classic.
That's right.
By Pepsi One.
We're leaving money on the table by not
are.
Doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. We'll talk to y'all on Monday.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.